apparently, if you lose your little toe, say it's amputated or something like that, you have to learn how to walk again from the beginning, completely. You wouldn't think, would you, that losing such a small part of your body would make such a huge difference to such an important activity of walking? Losing it means learning how all over again. God has made our bodies in such an amazing way, hasn't he? That they're so intricate and interdependent. I wonder if anyone has ever had labyrinthitis or something like that. You know, where something just very tiny goes wrong in your inner ear. You know, or a tiny bone goes out of place by a millimetre or something like that, and you just can't walk. You can't even stand up. Thousands of parts make up your body, your one body. And Paul says that's what the church is like. We've looked over the past few weeks, haven't we, at the church, at looking at thinking it's like a building, it's like a family. And we're thinking about how it is one. We are one. And last week, Louis took us through what the church is for, what we are meant to be doing. We're here to grow to maturity. And today, we're going to see how each one of us fits in to the body, what our role is in the church. And so I want you to know this morning how you fit in to the church. So have a look down, first of all, at verse 27, the very last verse on your News in the Pews, if you've got one. And I'll read it out. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That is the big thing that we need to see this morning, that to take away. Each of you is a part of the body. And you are all together the body of Christ. One body, many parts. Don't we need to hear this in our day more than ever? Because I don't think we believe that, do we, really? We think I am me and you are you, and we meet together each week and we have... We believe the same things, we do things together, but we're not really connected. You know, a bit like an art class or a book group or a gym. We have a shared interest, but outside of that, we're not connected very much. We're separated from each other. We're individuals. Well, Paul says, no, you are a body. And you individually are a part of a body. When you're born again as a believer in Jesus, you are joined into Christ's own body and you are no longer your own. You belong to Jesus and you are a part of his body all of the time. And I wonder if you might be thinking, well, hold on a minute, that sounds a bit like a cult. Are you saying that individuals don't matter at all? It's all about the collective and the individual doesn't matter? Well, Paul isn't saying that. He's not saying that you don't matter anymore. He's saying that you do matter. You are a part of the body. And the way God has made you, in the particular way he's made you, and the gifts he has given you, make you the part you are. And he's given you to the church to serve the church and to glorify him with your gifts in your way. Many parts, one body. Now, there are two objections that you might raise to that idea. And the first is this: I'm not very gifted. You might say, I'm just not very gifted. I don't have much to give. You don't really need me. Or you might say, I don't need anyone else. I'm fine, all by myself. And this passage in 1 Corinthians is Paul saying Those two objections are rubbish. They are rubbish. So the first thing he says is, you are needed. You are needed. You may think you don't have gifts, that you don't have a part to play, but you are needed. Now, there are some gifts, aren't there, in the church, in church life, that seem like they are essential. Like, I suppose you might say, preaching a sermon is essential, or leading the service is essential gift. These are essential gifts, but I wonder if you've ever thought, I don't lead, and I don't preach, so I'm not essential. If I don't come, everything's going to be fine. It's not going to matter very much if I don't come. Well, Paul says to you, if you've ever thought that, Paul says, that's like a foot thinking it's not needed because it's not a hand. So have a look at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And then look at verse 17 as well. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Can you imagine what a nightmare it would be if everybody had the gift of preaching? I mean, everyone would want to be saying stuff at the front all the time, and we'd be no good at anything else. We would have nobody who would be good at welcoming or at encouraging or playing the music or hospitality or giving. All the gifts are needed. All the gifts are essential. And the upfront gifts do not make someone more important or valuable to the church. God has made you in a particular way, with particular gifts. But those gifts that God has given you, they're not actually for you. They're for the church. So perhaps God has given you the gift of hospitality. And you enjoy inviting people around to your house and giving them cups of tea and meals and things like that. Well, that gift is given to you to serve the church, to bless the church. Perhaps God has given you the gift of perseverance under real suffering and trials. Well, that gift is actually a gift to the church as well. You persevering under suffering, that will help. As the church sees that, they will grow. We will grow, and we will be encouraged. Have a look at verse 18. In fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God has made you exactly as you are, precisely to be the right part for growing his church in Denton to maturity in Christ. So you are needed. One body, many parts. But this comes with a challenge as well. You are needed. That's encouraging, but it's a challenge too, because actually you have a responsibility to use those gifts to help everyone else here to grow in their relationship with God. If you don't use your gifts, we won't grow. We will struggle. So I wonder, how are you serving the church with the gifts that God has given you? Let me just give you two ideas, very briefly. Firstly, what are you good at? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing that could bless others? What resources has God given you that you can share with others? You could even ask someone else, what do you think my gift is? What do you think I'm good at? And how do you think I could serve the church? That's the first thing. What are you good at? The second thing, what are the needs in the church that you could do? So, for instance, there's a need to clean the toilets. Now, that's not a gift that people are going to be saying, well, I've always dreamed of cleaning the toilets and I've been, you know, I've been cultivating this gift all my life. But it is it's a need, isn't it? And someone needs to do it. And so maybe you could discover the gift of servant-heartedness by cleaning the toilets. And there are lots of things like that. There are lots of needs. What need is there that you could do? You are needed. The second objection then. The first one was, I don't have any gifts. I can't help. The second one was, I don't need anyone else. I'm fine on my own. Well, Paul says that's rubbish too. He says, you are not sufficient. You are not sufficient on your own. Have a look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I wonder who your favourite celebrity is. Have you got a favourite celebrity? Perhaps a musician or a sports person? This church in Corinth that Paul is writing to, they loved celebrities. They were a sort of celebrity culture. But not. It wasn't OK Magazine or Hello Magazine. It wasn't YouTube. It wasn't musicians and footballers. It was local church leaders. It was these church leaders who they would follow. And so some of them would say, oh, well, I follow Paul, he's the best. And some of them would say, I follow Apollos, he's the best. They sort of held these leaders up as celebrities. And so it meant that the only gifts they were interested in were the upfront gifts, were these visible, obvious gifts. And if you didn't have these gifts, then you weren't very interesting to them. And we can be tempted to be the same, can't we? We might say, well, I get these great books from 10 of those, or from the Good Book Company, or I can use really amazing devotional material from long-dead theologians, or I can get a service piped into my house, into my iPad, from All Souls Langham Place, or I can watch a Word Alive session. I've got all that. Why do I need Denton Church? I don't really have very much to offer compared to these others. Or even within our church, we might say, well, I can see what this person brings. I can see what that person has to offer. But him, not so sure. Her, not sure what she's got to offer. Are they really worth investing my time in them? And Paul says, you need them. You need them. You are not sufficient. You need even the people you don't think you need. And you need the local church. Have a look at verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. You need, don't you? You need your liver and your lungs and your armpits and your elbows just as much as you need your hands and your feet and your eyes and your ears. In the same way, you need every member of Denton Church. Every member is needed. Everyone has a contribution to make. And God actually, it says God gives special honour to those who don't appear to be special. Isn't that stunning? So as you look around today and as you look across the services at the other people who come on to the morning, the 9:30 service as well. You need everyone you can see if you're going to grow in your relationship with God. We need every member of this body if we're going to grow as a body. And I think that means we need to have a change in the way we think about ourselves and church, doesn't it? And so, I've got three ideas that I want to encourage you to the three steps to take, I suppose. The first one is admit your need. Accept that you're not self-sufficient. Or even sufficient in your family or in your friendship group. You need every other member of this church. Admit your need. Secondly, get to know each other. I think we're good at getting to know certain people in the church, but often we don't know each other that well across the church. And unless we do know each other, we will find it really hard to serve each other and love each other. So try to get to know others in the church. Spend time together. It takes time, doesn't it? You've got to go for a walk maybe, or have a cup of tea, or get someone to help you with a job, or help them with a job. Get to know each other. Thirdly, start a mutual appreciation society. So if someone says something that really helps you, or if they share a struggle that they have that comforts and encourages you, or if they lead the prayers in a helpful way or something like that, then why not tell that person how helpful they have been to you? Why not encourage them to know that God has given them a gift which has blessed the church and blessed you? Don't you think, wouldn't that encourage them to keep going and to do it again and to grow that gift in themselves? And imagine if we were all like that, encouraging each other in the gifts God has given. Just think how the body here in Denton would grow to maturity. I'm conscious I've thrown lots of ideas at you, lots of different things, but I would love you to remember one body, many parts, and every part is essential. Let me end with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that amazing truth that we are the body of Christ himself, and that each of us is a part of it. Thank you that you value each and every one of us as individuals, and you have a relationship with each one of us as individuals through Jesus. And at the same time, you unite us into this body, which is a living body, the living body of Christ. Thank you that each of us has a part to play in the whole. And please help us to take that part. Please help us not to look down on others, but to value each and every part of the body as you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.